you think life is simpler after you retire? For some, it's actually more complicated when facing issues about health, estate plans, probate, long-term care, and more. That's why attorney CPA Joe Cordell hosts Elder Talk, providing smart strategies for seniors and an open forum for older adults with important questions about their future. Here's attorney CPA Joe Cordell.
Susan, we have a reputation on this show of choosing topics that are of practical value as well as fascinating in terms of being interesting, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I can promise those who are listening to this show, and we're going to have this guest come back.
We are.
So we've decided to dedicate two shows to this topic because it's so important. We're going to be talking about health and as it relates to diet, nutrition, those changes that you experience as you get past age 60, you know, require some discussion, and they're a little different from what you might have been hearing, you know, for the first 60 or so years of your life. Maybe some of the principles, of course, are the same, but there are differences. And we decided to locate an expert, somebody who is very authoritative on the subject of diet and nutrition as it pertains to people over age 60. Susan, tell us about our guest.
Our guest today is Art Bernabo. Now, Art is a certified personal trainer. He's a certified group exercise instructor. He is a certified Live Strong instructor at the YMCA for cancer survivors. And Art graduated initially from Westminster College in 1961, but about midway through his 50s, he decided that he was going to return to college to study diet and nutrition and received his degree as a dietetic technician. So, Art, welcome to the show.
Welcome, Art.
That guy sounds pretty important. I think I'd like to meet that guy, too.
Well, I tell you have us on the edge of our seat. I mean, this topic of nutrition is such a hot topic in America, in part because people are overweight.
Yeah.
But we now realize that really the center of action is not so much medications and procedures. Now we realize diet's huge.
You know, you mentioned that it's so important right now. And my first discussion subject that I'd like to talk to is about how the senior citizen out there should try to educate themselves so that they understand the basics of nutrition. Because if you don't understand just the basics of nutrition, you are going to rely on the word media to try to teach you about the basics of nutrition.
And but is it possible, though, for them to take charge of their health themselves?
Oh, absolutely. And here's my suggestions. And the reason that I'm going to talk about this first, one day the news media is going to say carbs are bad for you. The next day you're going to hear carbs are good for you, which is correct. And so here's my first suggestion is a person, senior citizen or whoever, needs to prep themselves. And I got three suggestions. Suggestion number one, and please don't turn off the radio when I suggest this, but consider going to college. And I'm going to say specifically, take advantage of St. Louis Community College. Just go one semester. If you go on the website of St. Louis Community College, go to the link called payment. If you go to that link, you will find the subject of senior citizen. If you research that, you're going to find that a senior citizen can attend the St. Louis Community College 50% off a price that is already super economical. If you research it further, you can take another class under certain conditions that'll cost a senior citizen $15 to go to one semester. And the subject that I think you ought to talk about and learn is nutrition. See if you can go and just understand the basics. If you understand the basics of nutrition, you're going to be able to defend yourself from news media, from the internet. So that is my first suggestion.
People can audit these classes too, so they don't have to take exams and all that.
Yes, thanks for correcting me on that, because if it is $15, it means you audit.
Okay.
And audit a class means you don't receive college credits. And most of the people out there don't want the college credit, okay? They should want just the knowledge.
And it also means that if they flunk the test, they're not thrown out of the class.
That's a good thing to
remember. In fact, they might not even have to take a test if they don't want to do it. That's what auditing really is. So it can be a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it when I went back to college when I was in my mid-50s.
Is it possible to learn after you're age 50?
I'm struggling, but I'm doing it. I'm doing it. Yeah. Yeah, you'll be impressed with yourself when you go back. And the kids in the 15s, the age 20s and 30s that go to school, they'll look at you in wonder and maybe respect, but you'll enjoy it. You could have a good time. So that's the first suggestion. Second suggestion, if you don't like going back to college, here's something else. Ask your primary doctor if you could make an appointment with a registered dietitian. Most doctors, they know the link to hook up with a registered dietitian. If you could spend just an hour with them, it's not going to be free. I can't even give you the cost. You could find that out. But you could, when you go and talk to a registered dietitian, just tell that person you want the basics of nutrition. I want to know, where do calories come from? I want to know, how many calories should I eat at the age of 60?
You mean that changes?
It does change a little bit. It changes a little bit, and I'm going to go into that a little bit later. But let's say you don't want the registered dietitian. Here's your third suggestion that I have, okay? If you don't like the first two, I would start tracking foods. And here's what I mean by tracking foods. Every time you eat something, put it in a site where you can track foods. I'm going to give you an example. You can get an app on your iPhone. If you don't have an iPhone, I bet you got a computer. You can put the app on the computer. There are three different sites I would recommend. You could use myfitnesspal.com.
Yeah, that's very popular.
Yeah, it is popular, and it's very effective. It's user-friendly, and it's free.
My pastor swears by that.
Is that right?
MyFitnessPal, yeah.
It works. So the reason that I'm going to recommend tracking is not only you will find out how many calories you are eating, it will guide you on how many calories you should be eating at age 50, 55, 60, whatever it takes. The other thing you're going to find out, you will teach yourself. Here comes your education, because when you track your food, you're going to find out which foods are caloric dense, which foods are water dense. It's either or. And if you're eating foods such as veggies and vitamins or veggies and fruits, you're going to eat a lot of water, and that's a good thing. So those are my three suggestions, and we can go from there to discuss any further.
All right. Well, now that's a good foundation for this discussion, Susan, isn't it?
It is. I don't know that I would have thought going to school would be the first one, but it is.
Have they turned off the radio? That's what I want to know.
Well, the nice thing about radios, we can imagine that they have not. So let's talk about that. You brought up something about calories. Things do change a little bit as people get older. And does our need of calories go down? And is that because of our appetite, if that's true?
To try to offer advice for calories in a general population is almost impossible. Here are certain reasons why. And I don't care what age you are, and certainly age 60. If we have certain chronic diseases, your dietary needs are definitely going to change. Not only the number of calories, but the composition that makes the calories. And I'll just give you one example. If a person has diabetes, and I hope they don't, but if they have diabetes, the way I would talk to that person, I'm going to be real careful on what I discuss with carbohydrates. If a person has cardiovascular disease, I'm going to talk very much differently about fats and different types of fats. So chronic diseases is going to make an individually program of how many calories and what kind of calories are going to make. The other thing is this. You say people might change. Yes, they do. their body composition is going to change as we get older. Specifically, people are going to lose muscle tissue. Sometimes that is brought on by themselves because they do more sitting than they do walking, for example. So if you lose muscle mass, muscle tissue, it's going to affect your basic metabolism on how you burn calories when you're just sitting. So yeah, our composition will change. And even if you're not sedentary, there are physiological changes with a body that's called aging that's going to change other factors like our digestive tract. It just changes. It's not as productive. You might not absorb calories as readily. You might not absorb vitamins and minerals, but the bottom line is it changes. So individualized, we should talk to a person.
But if it makes complete sense to me that you're saying that as you get older, maybe your digestive system is not as productive, and
yep.
you don't absorb as many nutritional
yes.
The
yes.
content of the food.
Yep.
So wouldn't that argue for the importance when you get past age 60 of more nutrition-dense foods, like eating more vegetables and fruits even?
For sure. But again, that's the reason I want the education. Most people don't know where they can find nutrients. And nutrients mean vitamins. They mean minerals. However, they also mean fiber. Fiber is pretty important to a person at any age, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And fibers, I'm going to talk about fiber later on, but fiber is a tricky situation. If one exceeds their value on fiber, there's other problems that I could discuss. So nutrients can be fiber. Nutrients can be antioxidants. Antioxidants is a real broad subject, but every fruit and veggie, Joe, has antioxidants. It's amazing. Everybody's parents tell them they should eat fruits and veggies. My parents did. My parents had no idea why I should eat fruits and veggies.
Mm-hmm.
Most people today don't know why they should eat. It's just amazing what fruits and veggies, and I'm going to let me elaborate on
yeah,
fruits.
Go ahead. Yeah, go
let
ahead.
Me elaborate on fruits and veggies a little bit. First of all, they happen to taste pretty good. I brought in a fruit. I haven't told Joe or Susan about this fruit yet. Yeah, that's
now this is a strange looking thing. How do we describe this to our audience?
Well, it's
round as an apple.
It looks a little bit like an apple, but it's not colored like an apple.
It's good. It's right. It's caramel color. It is called Asian pear. It is called Korean pear. It's called apple pear. They're not too common, but you can find them. I work for Dierbergs, and we sell this item right now. This Korean pear is not only loaded with antioxidants, it's low calorie. Here's the reason.
Really?
Here's the reason. Now, Joe, I'm glad you brought that up, because here's the reason that all fruits and veggie are low in calorie. This is probably 90% water.
Mm-hmm. And this is a big, so our audience knows, that this is the size of a big apple.
It's a big apple.
Probably weighs a half a pound, just a ballpark. So it weighs a half a pound, but it has only, if you ate the whole thing, actually it's two servings in here.
I believe that.
The three of us could share this and really enjoy it. But it has 119 calories.
Wow.
That is a nice snack for 100, okay?
Yeah.
Has antioxidants. It has vitamins. It's just, this is medicine that is pretty cheap. That's what it is.
That's a good way to think
it
of
is.
It really is. Food is medicine.
And yeah, it really is. Yeah.
I'm thinking, you know, for that same 100 calories, I could eat one Oreo.
You know, you're not exaggerating. You're right.
I'm not even sure
I could eat one.
No, I don't think you can get a whole one for that.
So I'm hoping after our broadcast today, we'll share this. Maybe we can. If a person would slice this. So it's a pear. I don't know if I mentioned it. It's a pear. It's a Korean pear, but looks like an apple.
Mm-hmm.
The texture is just delicious. Mildly sweet. Very juicy. If you slice it, and by the way, I washed it, as you should do all fruits and veggies. But if you slice it and mix it with cottage cheese, unbelievable. If you put this in a salad with a small amount of nuts, it's just delicious, okay?
Now, should we worry about whether it's organic?
Oh boy, now you hit a subject, Joe. I can only be here a lot 3 hours, Joe.
We may have to make this the next 5 shows.
We might.
Hey, do you want to talk about organic? Now, let me finish about fruits and veggies.
Yeah, yeah. And then we'll just take, you know, just a couple minutes to get your thoughts on whether it makes sense to buy organic. You don't have to go into the full explanation.
I do want to talk about organic. Okay. But here's, so anyway, a fruit and vegetable is water dense. If it's water dense, it's not going to be caloric dense. So that's a big deal for watching calories. Here's a second thing. It's loaded with fiber. And, you know, later on we'll talk about fiber. It has antioxidants. And let me elaborate on antioxidants just a little bit. Antioxidants, there's a connection between reducing the risk of getting cancers. I didn't say it's going to stop cancer. It'll reduce the risk. And that's
dramatically,
all.
Right?
Yeah, well, I don't know if that's the right word, but it's enough that we should eat fruits and veggies because it has antioxidants. And the peculiar thing about antioxidants, if you notice that fruits and veggies are beautiful colors, and they're different colors. The red in a tomato is called lycopene. That's the antioxidant. That antioxidant, red, is the same lycopene in a delicious watermelon. It's red. So there's oranges and there's greens and there's other colors. Each has a different color, and the color is created by chemical composition that creates the antioxidant. I think it's the variety of the antioxidants that helps you to lower the risk of cancers. And cancer's it's a real stinker, that's for sure. So that's just one more thing for fruits and veggies.
Well, yeah, and let's take a break here. And I really want, as we go into the break, I want to emphasize, I feel stronger maybe than you do, though you're the expert. But I mean, that I think there's tons of evidence that there is a huge reduction in the risk of cancer and heart disease and diabetes by eating nutritional foods in addition to, as you've been saying here, the right calorie quantity. But anyway, we're going to take a break. This is exciting, useful stuff. Hang with us. Back in a second.
You're listening to Elder Talk, providing smart strategies for seniors. Presented by Cordell Planning Partners, your elder law advisors. And now, attorney CPA Joe Cordell.
Well, we're back with Art Bernado. We're discussing the incredible opportunity that people have above age 60 to watch their diet and yield the benefits of longevity and health and fitness. So Art, who incidentally is a dietitian, Art, before we went into the break, you were talking about the issue of fruits and vegetables.
Yeah, there's a couple more points I want to make about fruits and veggies. By the way, they do taste good. I mean, we can't forget that. Here's the other thing. One of the elements, specifically a chemical that's in all fruits and veggies, is the mineral called potassium. There is a scientific link. They're not sure why, but if a person has hypertension, the blood pressure is too high, there's some kind of a link that shows potassium helps to neutralize the effects of sodium. And sodium later on we're going to talk about. So potassium exists in every fruit and veggie.
I think of bananas.
That's what I was just going to say.
Boy, I'm so glad you mentioned that, because I was going to say, most people feel bananas is the ultimate. Let me tell you something. If you track foods, if you go to get a basic education, a russet potato has 4 or 5 times more potassium than a banana. But the value of the banana, it comes in its self-container. You're not going to carry a russet potato around. It just proves how much, if you're educated, that you can learn. So much. And yes, banana has potassium. So anyway, a variety of fruits and veggies is another good example.
But bananas, though, also, at least in comparison to vegetables and fruits, it tends to have a little bit of more calories. Is that true than some options?
It depends what you put on the potato.
Sour cream is not probably what you're supposed to do.
If bacon
and cheese.
But you got to put something on a potato, okay? So you could play with that a little bit. A daub of yogurt might be less caloric than the cheese that Susan's talking about. However, you gotta live too. So how much of the cheese are you gonna add is a whole question. Well, if you're tracking, you can put in 1 tablespoon of the cheese, the cream cheese, or what's the cheese you said?
Sour cream.
The sour cream, if you put that on, you can see how many calories that is. I like sour cream. I'm aware that it's caloric dense.
So tracking though is huge.
Oh, and, very big.
And by using a software of some sort,
yeah.
then they can make yeah. these decisions and monitor yeah. whether they've yeah. they've exceeded their limit.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a big deal. So you not only monitor and understand the calories, numbers you're eating, you learn about foods, which food is caloric dense. I mean, I'll give you another example. The word nuts. Everybody in the world knows that nuts are nutritious and that they're heart healthy, and that is true. But if you sit down and watch a Cardinal baseball game with a jar of nuts, and they play like they've been playing, and you're going to be eating that jar of nuts, you're going to eat a half a jar, you would be amazed at the calorie. You should eat. The serving of nuts is like one layer on the palm of your hand. They are caloric dense because they're fat dense, but it's good fats. So anyway, that's a teaching.
Yeah.
And you'll self-teach yourself. Yeah.
Well, and I think that's one thing that we tend, I don't know, we seem to have vilified certain foods. Certain yep. foods are, oh, they're bad for you. I should never eat a nut if you're trying to lose weight. Or I should never eat a banana because that's a really high calorie fruit. The reality is we really do need the variety. Isn't that right?
Oh, that's for sure. Again, because of the various type of vitamins and minerals for one reason. Certain fruits and veggies focus on certain vitamins and minerals. There's 14 different vitamins. There's 13 different minerals. It's important that we get in our diet all of those because each vitamin, each mineral offers a different process.
And we should add, too, that there are thousands of phytochemicals
yep.
that are in those plants that we haven't necessarily even identified.
Exactly. You hit the nail on the head. One of those phytochemicals is antioxidants. But there's a whole bunch, just what you're talking about. Science is still finding them.
Yeah. Yep. And some I've read who, like Campbell, who the China study, he's a nutritionist, and his argument is that he doesn't advocate taking supplements because he thinks that there's so many chemicals, meaning very positive plant chemicals,
right.
phytochemicals, involved in food that have been developed in nature over thousands or millions of years. And as a result, he thinks that those probably work together in a cooperative sort of way. And he believes the idea of isolating something in a capsule pill of a vegetable or a mineral is probably not only is it not helpful, he argues, but it might be worse than not.
Let me elaborate a little bit on that. That's certainly true. If I would never recommend to a person I personal train to take a vitamin or a mineral as a supplement. First of all, the word supplement says it all. In some cases, you should take it as a supplement, not as the main reason to get vitamin A, vitamin B, whatever. It's a supplement. You should get the vitamins and the minerals from the natural fruits and veggies and plus other foods. There's some in nuts, there's some in legumes, there's some even in meats. But if you take a supplement and you take it excessively, and that's a broad word, nobody's going to paint one brush and say, here's much too much to be excessive. Let's talk about vitamin C. If you take excessive amount of vitamin C, you are possibly overworking your kidney. There is a connection between excessive vitamin C and kidney stones. I said a connection. I didn't say it causes kidney stones, but you don't want to take vitamin C. If nothing else, a lot of folks, if they take vitamin C excessively, they're going to get a diarrhea because the body can't handle it. So how much is a much? Let the doctor tell you you need more vitamin C. A blood test is going to show any vitamin, any mineral that you're deficient of. Then you can find out, let the doc tell you which one to take.
But the argument you're making, and the one that Professor Campbell makes, is that if you're eating the diet you've been describing, Art,
yep,
then you can be sure that you're getting not only wonderful quantities of these and the thousands of other, you know, nutritional components, but they're coming in the proper arrangement, yep, and proportion, so that they can work in a way that is mutually beneficial, mm-hmm, to the body.
That is true. The other factor, though, is as we age, for whatever reason, it doesn't matter why, the needs for vitamins and mineral quantities will change, some of which decrease. So again, let there be a conversation. Don't try to be a hero and take a supplement with that.
But now, Art, do you think we can have any confidence that a doctor has a clue about nutrition?
Oh, no. No, I don't. But here's what I do know. They do know what specific amounts, values most people should take.
Reference ranges in
exactly,
blood tests.
Exactly. So, yeah. I'm not going to say that a doctor is going to emphasize take fruits and veggies and they know why. I'm not saying that. But you got to trust your doctor to tell you when you shouldn't or when you should. Plus, some chronic diseases, you should never take a supplement of a vitamin in case it works negatively towards, for example, potassium. I said how wonderful potassium is. If you have excessive amount of potassium and you have certain heart disease, that is a no-no. You're going to worsen the heart disease possibly. So that's where the doctor better be at.
So we can count on the doctor knowing about specific supplements that would be bad for your particular disease. But I'm wanting to be sure that our listeners realize that there's a very low bar in terms of what their expectations should be, in terms of their doctor understanding what you understand, for example.
Agreed.
Doctors don't study that in medical school.
No, it's agreed. Well, no, you're right.
I'm wondering, too, does a basic blood test tell you all these vitamin deficiencies, or is that something you need to ask the doctor to provide?
You ask the doctor specifically. For example, I found out, I forget how I found out, but I was deficient on vitamin D. So we took the blood test. It was true, I was deficient, and the doctor recommended a supplement.
Were you eating a vegan diet at the time?
No, I don't eat vegan, but I do eat low meat.
Okay.
I do.
All right.
But not vegan.
Yeah, and same with me, incidentally. Coincidentally, yeah. I watch my diet and I eat very, very little meat.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But I'm not ideological about it. But still, I had a similar thing where I was a little low in D. Otherwise, my health, just so the listeners don't think, oh my gosh, I need to avoid a all-plant diet. I mean, it's a wonderful diet, and you can stay very healthy, but some things like vitamin D, it's a short list of things, right?
Yeah, vitamin for D. Sure, for sure. There's some value in meats. Lean meat, yes. Red meat, I just stay away from it. I have lean hamburger sometimes. But I have fish, and I have some chicken, but I can't remember when I had a steak. You know, and I don't miss it. That's the point. Your taste buds will change.
Now, our audience should know that Art looks like he is perfectly fit. You're very lean. So have you always been lean? Or do you want to take the Fifth Amendment?
No, no, probably the last 15 years I became really interested in exercise. I just love aerobic music. I just love it. Huh. So and now I teach aerobic classes. I just love it. So no, I wasn't. But genes do have a part of that. Of the two factors, genes or lifestyle, I don't care who you are. Lifestyle is going to overrule genes. So yeah. The senior citizen listening out there, it's not too late for them to change their lifestyle, to change their culture. They can do it. If they mm-hmm. just take charge of their health, that's what they can do.
And they can make a big difference, even if they start these changes at age 60 or beyond.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
What would be the first place to start? Let's say I want to add a few more fruits and vegetables. What would I do? What if I'm somebody who's never really been a fan? And I go, well, my
that's
vegetables
are... That's a tough
are,
transition, isn't it, Susan?
I know, sorry. You know, it's just a
but,
question
But it's
had.
A good point, though, because somebody who has eaten the average American diet, and suddenly they're listening yep. to the radio show, yep. you've moved them, Art. Let's
exactly.
assume that they've had this epiphany, and now they're thinking, well, how do I launch in this new direction?
I'll tell you, sometimes it takes medical news to shock them. Sir, you are now a diabetic. Oh, gosh. Okay?
Yeah.
Or God, I'm not wishing this, but if they had a mild heart attack, maybe, I hope it doesn't
yeah.
take that.
Right.
However, maybe the grandkids say to this grandparent, you know, Grandpa, I wish you're going to be around when I graduate. Oh, then maybe I should consider seeking some advice. But again, don't go to the internet. You know, don't go to the internet. You know, as great as the internet is, that is a whole different subject. How should I use the internet for health or wellness or diet or nutrition? And that's probably the first thing I learned when I went back to college recently and talked and learned nutrition. The first couple of days of the class was, let's see where we can find resources. So buyers beware, browsers beware of the internet, okay? So here's the advice in a general source. If the website ends in .edu, pretty safe. If the website ends in .gov, pretty safe.
That means government and like educational institutions.
Right. If it ends with .org, that is safe because a lot of organizations, that's the abbreviation, are nonprofit organizations. For example, one of my favorite sites is the mayoclinic.org. Mm-hmm. Just, they're terrific. If you go into their search bar and just ask for any wellness, any subject on health, you're going to get some straight facts. Mm-hmm. If you use a website .com and the word com, abbreviation for
somebody making money.
Commercial.
Not that I'm against people making money.
I was going to say, not all bad.
We are capitalists, but
yeah,
healthy
but,
capitalists.
You're not. But I am upset with somebody who tried to make money on me when I might be naive on what they're selling me. And
yeah.
that's the whole point, okay? And there's a lot of .coms that are legit, but browsers, beware.
It's the wild, wild west on the World Wide Web, right?
It is. Well,
that's
you know,
for sure.
Every time you turn around, there is some new thing that
yeah.
says, this will solve this. It'll cure
yes.
cancer. It will
yeah.
do this. You'll be tall. You'll be thin. You'll be whatever you want to be if you just take this,
yes.
whatever this
yeah.
is.
Yeah. I need to say something right now. I called the public library is such a wonderful service. I go there frequently. So I called the library and I said, you know what? I am interested. How many books do you have that discuss the word diet? They told me about 800 books have the word diet in the title.
Wow.
Now, I want to tell you.
And that's a low number probably for the
probably.
Numbers out there.
That's what I would think.
I'm telling you. So again, the education, the basic knowledge, you can protect yourself.
Good. And we're going to take a break. Lots of wonderful information here. We're going to keep covering this very relevant topic of, you know, how do you maintain your health through your diet after age 60? Our wonderful guest here, Art Bernabeau. We'll be back in a moment.
You're listening to Elder Talk, providing smart strategies for seniors. Presented by Cordell Planning Partners, your elder law advisors, and now attorney CPA Joe Cordell.
Okay, let's pick back up. We're with Art Bernabeau, who is just a wealth of information on the subject of diet as it relates to health in people past age 60. So, Art, man, there's so much to cover here. I'm glad we're doing another show. We have another segment in this show, and then we will, the good news is you're going to come back, and we're going to get to have you on for a second show.
Next week.
So let's pick up where we were before we went into our break. So we were talking about how diet can affect things such as your nutritional content, how as you age, you know, your digestive system may not be as capable of absorbing nutrients. So that alone would suggest to me that you would take in more nutrients, but we can't count on our doctors to necessarily know specific nutrients that we're short on. Go ahead and wrap up that point, because I want to move on and talk about something else here that I know is very important.
Art. Well, the point is this. Nutrients refers to vitamins. It means minerals, antioxidants. It refers to fiber. Get them from naturally of fruits and veggies. I think that's the bottom line of the conversation. And understand the word supplement. If you take a supplement, it is exactly that. It's just a supplement to your basic diet that you eat.
Well, I hear talk about this phrase, DASH, D-A-S-H. Have you heard that, Susan?
I have.
There are books about it, isn't it?
There are books, there are websites, there are all kinds of things about it.
So now, what is DASH?
DASH. Funny you mentioned DASH. D, it's an acronym. D, dietary. A, attempts. S, stop. H, hypertension. Boy, hypertension out there, certainly with a senior citizen or anybody, hypertension is very common. I have hypertension. I take medicine.
And you're so lean. I'm surprised to hear that.
You know, DNA.
Right.
Okay.
The genetics.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm going to blame it on my parents, and it's too late to discuss it with them. But anyway, DNA can have an effect on that. So hypertension, DASH. Dietary attempts to stop hypertension. It has been voted by the World News Report. I forget the exact copy of that. It was rated the number one diet last year out of 38 different diets.
Number one in terms of effectiveness or popularity?
Good question. In effectiveness, as agreed by a heart doctor, a lung doctor, the medical science, okay? So the DASH diet, guess what? It's heavy with fruits and veggies. No surprise.
Hmm.
But it's also heavy on legumes. Legumes are beans. There are 15 or 16 different legumes. And they're nutritious. They're loaded with fiber and they're loaded with antioxidants and they're low. And they have some fiber and they have some protein and they're low in calories. Okay?
Now, does that include soy? When you say legume, do you include soy, or is that?
I am, but there's more controversy probably with soy than anything else.
It's processed.
Right.
I don't want to pretend I'm an expert on soy. There's a lot of people eat soy. There's a lot of medical science says do, they don't, and so beans in general.
If in doubt, eat the bean.
I think so too. And I'm not bad mouthing soy because there's certainly a lot. Soy has a good protein in it, that a soybean. And soybean as a snack is tasty. So, anyway, DASH. DASH emphasizes legumes and it emphasizes nuts. And I've already talked about nuts. Yep, they're healthy, but boy, beware of the caloric intensity. It's good. It recommends meat. However, it's limiting red meats. And as a category, red meat includes processed meats, a salami, pastrami. Boy, you're asking for a problem.
That's the worst of meat, right?
Worst meaning health-wise, heaven's sakes, yes. My dad, he just loved salami.
And sausage. I have to say, sausage. It tastes good.
It does taste good, but it's not good for you.
Oh, boy. You know, it's the quantity you eat. But if you are sensitive to heart disease, you know, deli meats are a little bit tricky. Now, you can get deli turkey. It's good. deli ham, probably pretty good. But it's the processed meat that you said, Joe, is really asking for a problem. So the DASH diet is excellent. It includes all food groups, which is important. You're not going to restrict. They do ask you to watch the word added sugars. Boy, if there's one bullet out there that can cause a problem, not only for health, but for excessive weight, it's added sugar. I hate, don't get me started on talking about soda. I don't want to get involved in it. It's just unbelievable.
Suffice it to say, you're not a proponent of the,
not a
the
fan,
soda
huh?
diet.
You know, now that doesn't mean I don't drink soda. I probably have one soda every other week. Okay, there are certain foods I like, but you better know what you're. I was working yesterday at Deerberg's, and one of my coworkers, a young man, a smart kid, he got a orange drink, and I don't even know the name. And I said, hey, Austin, look at that nutrition fact label. How many grams of sugar in that bottle? It was 72 grams of sugar.
Wow.
Okay? If a person would get an 8-ounce glass and equate the amount of white table sugar to 72 grams, you would be so astounded.
Third of the glass. Mm-hmm.
I had a dentist who's a friend of mine tell me jokingly, but he wasn't joking, soda is probably my best
source of business.
Source of business. And you know what? Now, again, it depends how much soda that you drink. And so people are going to tell me, well, I drink diet soda. Well, now listen now. Every soda has acid in it. The same acid that if you put on your car battery that gets that white stuff that builds up, it's just going to eat that white stuff. It'll clean that battery. Unbelievable. Can you imagine what that stuff, that acid, might do to your teeth, your enamel? Mm. You know, so again, it depends. And then if you go to a Quick Trip stop and you get that 40-ounce or 48-ounce of soda and sip on that,
it's
all day.
It's amazing. You see these people walking around with these. It looks like
drink.
a bucket of soda.
Yeah, you know, and the kids that grow up today, man, they're facing so many temptations. Education would help to just educate themselves, to defend themselves. So anyway, DASH diet, yep, it's a good diet. It's a healthy diet, yes.
So sugar is definitely minimized in that diet. What about salt? Is salt an enemy on the hypertension?
Well, let's talk about salt. Salt, the table salt, is really sodium and chloride, and it's 40% sodium, 60% potassium. But most people don't get excessive amount of salt, or sodium rather. They don't get it from the salt shaker. They get it from the foods, the processed and the packaged foods.
When it's delivered to them, it's already in there.
Oh, it's there. So if you buy what's called, I call TV dinners, look at the word sodium.
Mm.
If you buy canned goods, soups, I'm telling you, it's got so. I mean, and manufacturers don't do this to be mean. It helps to preserve the product, and it can last on the shelf longer. So anyway, how much sodium should a person have? For most folks, it's recommended you don't exceed 2,300 milligrams of sodium. Well, if you saw a teaspoon of white of salt from a salt shaker, there's 2,300 milligrams right there.
One teaspoon.
One teaspoon is already 2,300. Now, if you have a hypertension blood pressure problem, 2,300 is probably too much. You ought to consider 1,500. That's what I'm recommending to two personal training customers that I'm working with right now, 1,500. Now, that's not a lot of sodium. You better watch what you eat. And if you track food and you go to the nutrients section of what you track, going to see how much sodium is in. I was working with a customer last week, and she was eating Cobb salad. That's a pretty innocent type of food. I forget how much sodium was in it. I'm not going to even risk and say. She was shocked.
Probably through the dressing.
Through the dressing.
Croutons.
Could be. Could be. It's just amazing. So, yes, DASH diet, to answer your question finally, is low because, again, now has fruits and veggies. Fruits and veggies are going to offer potassium. Potassium has a link with reducing the effects of sodium. So DASH is just a wonderful. And there are books. That's one of the 800 books at the library.
But like a lot of things in life, you know, you have 800 books, and yet there are probably a few of those books at least that are wonderful.
I think so.
And they get crowded out mm-hmm. by this.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. And one of those diets then that you approve of is a DASH diet.
Oh, it's very, very good.
And it's going to be lower in sodium, lower yes. in sugar.
Yes.
And lower calorie, I guess.
Yes, exactly.
For the sodium, does it matter if it's table salt versus kosher salt versus some of the Himalayan salts
you
that I hear about?
A fancy word.
Sea salt.
Is sea
yeah.
salt, okay? A fancy word, sea salt. So I said regular table salt, the salt shaker, it's 40% sodium, 60% potassium. Guess what? Sea salt, 40% sodium, 6% potassium. Sounds glamorous. It says good on a recipe. I'm using sea salt. Really? So, but it tastes good. It depends on how much salt you use, obviously.
Okay. Let's see. Now, I want to plan on what we're going to cover next week. Now, we have about a little less than we have a couple minutes. So let's take this time. I want to kind of wrap up some of the things we talked about this week. We'll try to build in what we'll give you a preview of what we'll talk about next week, and then we'll pick up. So kind of what we've learned so far is that we should have an emphasis on fruits and vegetables.
True.
And
true.
you don't believe that people, in order to have a long, healthy life, have to eliminate all animal products.
Oh, absolutely not. There's a lot of nutrients in some animal products, yes.
But you believe in controlling, or maybe even, is minimizing too strong a word, the animal products?
Depends on the person, the age. Do they have a disease? Are they overweight? How active they are. Again, boy, to try to paint one paintbrush to everybody that's listening, why don't you hire a personal trainer? Why don't you hire a registered dietitian? Why don't you go to college and maybe you can be your own expert? So I don't know how else to answer that.
And you know what's frustrating, though, for people who really want to do the right thing? I mean, it's one challenge to even get to the point where you're prepared to do the right thing.
Right. Yep.
But even even when people get to that point, I mean, you have the best experts on the planet. Each side seems to have lined up wonderful experts in this argument between paleo
yep.
and vegan. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know, the paleo is kind of like the low-carb people, and the of course, the vegan means eliminate all animal products.
Yep.
Right.
And there's this war of opinion between them, and they've both lined up such wonderful experts
yep.
that I can see how people who really are prepared and want to do the right thing feel like there's no way to know what the right thing is.
Unless you're educated. Unless you understand the basics of nutrition. So the people that didn't turn the radio off and they might consider going back to the community college, just consider that. Learn the basics of nutrition.
So, and the point that I think that you've been making, and tell me if you agree with this, is that there are components of each of those positions so that you don't have to reject entirely one or the other. Doubtlessly you agree that each side there are some good components.
For sure.
Okay. Yep. And so what you're saying is by being educated, you can identify what are the common denominators
yes.
that all the experts do agree on.
Yep, you're right.
Wonderful, all right. Wonderful. All right, so I can't think of a better note to wrap up this week. And Art, you are with us next week, correct?
All righty.
Now, we're going to continue this discussion of diet. Susan, what do you think? Do we'll pick up the same topic next week or go further into the other issues of health and diet?
I think we're going to go further into the other issues of how do we start? What about some of the things like gluten? What about organic produce?
Gluten.
What are
yes.
we going to do with all of that?
Gluten, and I also wanted to talk about this whole subject of organic diet. I've resisted that, but I knew we had another week to talk. So we will pick up these wonderful topics relating to nutrition. Those listening, be sure to tune in next week. I mean, this is really practical, useful stuff that can change your life. Talk to you next time.
You've been listening to Elder Talk, providing smart strategies for seniors with attorney CPA Joe Cordell. Listen again next Saturday for another edition of Elder Talk, sponsored by Cordell Planning Partners, your elder law advisors. For more information, visit eldercarelaw.com. That's eldercarelaw.com. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely on advertisements.